Okay, this is lesson three, part two. I just wanted to go to look together at some of the pages of the booklet that we haven't looked at, just explaining a bit. If you look on pages one and two, you have these various breakdowns of the areas of a stage and even the names for the audience. Okay, you've got various degrees of complication, let's say. I mean, some of you will be very familiar with the theatre. If you look at the diagram, I apologise that it's not very easy to read. It wouldn't come very dark. But one thing I have a problem with, you know, I have done a bit of theatre in my youth, let's say, but I never got used to all these names. Maybe because I have problems with left and right. So anyway, if you're on the stage, if you're an actor, the right and left are obviously the other way round from the audience. So if you look at that stage, you have to put yourself on the audience facing out, sorry, on the stage facing out towards the audience. And you've got your stage right, your stage left. We also have these two terms, downstage, when you're near the front, nearer the audience, and upstage when you're towards the back. You have the apron, which is this curved part, which I suppose not all stages have. You have the crossover behind where you can cross from one side to the other without being seen by the audience. It's usually a sort of dark corridor. Any of you who've done anything, either with dance or anything on the stage, will be familiar with running through that crossover area, which is quite fun in the dark, in the middle of a performance. And you've got the wings, these parts where you wait to come on stage. And you have to be careful not to be seen, because obviously there are usually three entrances you can see there between the wings, because the wings usually have a kind of diagonally placed black curtain, or possibly a rigid board, and so that you can enter downstage or upstage or in the middle. Okay, but if the audience are sitting right on the sides, they can see through that entrance. And so you have to be careful not to be seen before you're supposed to be seen coming on, okay? You'll notice that the audience can also be called the house. And so, as I say, it's the other way around. You'll see that the house right is opposite the left for the stage person, for the person on stage, okay? You can... If you look at the bottom of the page, you have nine divisions of the stage areas. Okay, we obviously are working in university classrooms. We have an even a slightly smaller classroom than we had last term, although I'm hoping to be able to reappropriate room 20. I think, if I remember rightly, one of you in your final papers from the first semester said we need a bigger room. Yes, I agree. I used to try and get the Aula Magna in Piazza Brunelleschi for our final performances. We never filled up the audience area. There was more of a stage. There were lots of problems because the custodi and so the staff were very nervous about me using this Aula Magna, and not very helpful. It was more difficult setting up the lights, and there were more impediments on the stage area because there was a fixed computer, you know, a projector, etc. It got very hot in the summer. Okay, it was also very difficult to book it because people booked it for exams. And so, you know, it swings in roundabouts. Big room, yes, but you have to shout a lot loud. You have to project your voices a lot more efficiently. You don't get the good atmosphere that we get with the audience being close to us. And it's difficult to practice in that room. It's very, very difficult to book. So that's why I plump for Aula 20. Of course, this term we may be using film, which there's a whole new set of problems. I think I mentioned this in the first lesson, that, you know, we have to counterbalance the advantages of having a screen, a projection, of using music, etc., of using images, with the negative aspects, which are that we get an intrusion of technology, always problems. We get that. I am very disturbed by having a screen with things like the screen on the PC up there. For me, it destroys the atmosphere a little bit of the stage. Anyway, we'll talk about this. Anyway, I doubt if we will need these stage divisions. Okay, upstage, center stage. I'm looking again on page one at the 9 divisions of the stage. And even on the next page, on page 2, you even have 15 divisions of the stage. And you have the abbreviations for those parts of the stage. I've probably given you more than you need. But for example, if you make a diagram, if you make a project, for example, for how we could read Virginia Woolf's journal entry, which was one of the assignments I threw out at this week, as something for those who had time and ideas to do that. You could try and use some of these indications when you're describing where you want people to be. Okay, and your stage will be an area which in the last term was actually the back of the classroom, right, was our stage. Although we also used the front, okay, we turned it round. So anyway, try and use them. We don't have a crossover, we don't have curtains, we don't have an apron, etc. But you could try using some of this terminology. If you turn over, on page 3, in last week's lesson, I did go through these voice exercises. How many of you did the warm-up before recording your videos? Okay, I'll ask you that at the video conference, okay? If you're stuck in the house and you can't get out at all, warm-ups are very good things to be doing. One of you, I think it was it Noemi, was mentioning her dancing and the difficulty of doing dancing when she was in the same room as somebody else who was complaining about the music. Headphones would be great, wouldn't they? But they don't help for the warm-up. So bathrooms, toilets, the warm-up, I don't know. Anyway, they are very good. And if you don't like going through these exercises without someone leading, because I think, you know, as I suggested last lesson, you perhaps need to take notes so you remember the sequence. I need to take notes to remember the sequence. But otherwise, if you just dance, just a good warm-up is just to put on some music you love, let yourself go completely. It's also good for you for letting off tension in a moment like this. So try that. I'm going quite fast, but if you look at page 5 now, warm-up and improvisation techniques, a lot of these require being together in the classroom, but we could try. We'll see how this video conference works. We'll see what we are able to do together and how good I am at leading the thing. I have grave doubts about that. I'm going to do a practice one with members of my family tonight. I hope they're ready to do that. So I feel I'm a little bit more prepared for this. Anyway, these activities, I think it's good to have them in mind as ways you're going to develop your characters. So activity 1, we did. Activity 2, two students sit on chairs opposite each other, actually these two people can be in any position you like. We can vary this and it can be more than two, okay? A third person, which initially would be me, I mean your teacher, your okay, or whoever, a person in command, let's say, calls out a number from 1 to 3 at intervals. These numbers indicate the way the two performers should behave. 1, you concentrate on your own body and thoughts, so in yourself. 2, you direct your attention towards the other person on the stage and interact. So this is interaction between the two people on the stage, the two actors. And 3, you direct your attention towards the audience and interact. Okay, so this is something which hopefully we will experiment together, okay, when we can meet. Okay, activity 3, I mean, even a couple of you even mentioned this. I don't know if it came up even because some people did see the performance done by the dramatic adaptation group last year. If you were participating as a third year, for example, you saw this. This is quite a useful activity which we can use in our performance. We can integrate it with your work on characters that you did, for example, last week. So you have 1 minute to stand up and recount a dream. Okay, we could have done this as yourselves. I think, okay, a lot of people say they don't remember their dreams. Sometimes we have to actively try and remember them, don't we, or write them down as soon as we have them. Dreams are fascinating, particularly perhaps for the person who has them. I mean, I think we've all had the experience of recounting very long dreams, which we find disturbing to other people, and they're not very interested. But I think in creating the character, a dream can give a completely different aspect of a person. It can give us, it's like opening up the subconscious, isn't it? Things that person is not aware of that are coming out in the dreams. So, I mean, this is something, is one way you could develop the character you've created in the hotel room if you want to develop that character. If you don't choose perhaps to, you know, take one of the other characters I suggested in the first part. So, your character could actually, as a second video, as a second monologue, a second part to your monologue, recount a dream, which you can make as weird as you like, right? But maybe should, you know, a little bit like in the previous part of this lesson, I said you don't have to say things very directly, like saying, I have 2 children, I'm lonely. You can introduce this, these aspects of the character in just offside, you know, in just casual comments or things that come out. And so you can introduce a side of this character through the dream, all right? So if anybody wants to do that as a development, think about it, okay, for next week perhaps. Activity 4. In pairs, stand opposite each other. One person leads, making slow movements with arms, legs, head, and using facial expressions. The person opposite must replicate exactly the movements and expressions of their partner. This is fun. I've done this in a group. You can try doing it as in your character, okay? And this one probably you can try doing with somebody at home. Why not? Rope people in. And you may be sharing a house with people who don't have enough to do, and this can be fun, and it's movement as well. Okay. Activity 5 is very similar. Walk around in a circle. One person is the leader, and all those behind do whatever the person in the front of them is doing. Here you need a bit of space. This can be done in all kinds of forms. You should be spaced out. So the idea is that if you are not behind the leader, you should copy, not that you shouldn't try and look across the room at the leader, you should be copying the person in front of you. So you actually get it slightly delayed. And this can be done with kind of dance movements, with different kinds of walking. You can lie down on the floor and start rolling around. You can also speak. Here, let yourself go. One of the tricks of warming up and acting well is to forget that you're a sensible adult and not be inhibited and just let yourself go as if you're a child. If you have a child of your own, you'll know that having a child is a great way of rediscovering the child in yourself. You probably have experienced this. But also a class like this is another good way of rediscovering the child, which is a great side of ourselves, which I'm a great believer in also knowing how to be like a child again. Okay, I think I might have reached my maximum limit on this part. So till the next part, bye-bye.